facing your giants. And today we have the universal giant that everybody's got to face. And what is it?
Death.
Oh, isn't that a pleasant topic? Death. Death. How many of you know you're all going to have to go down that path sooner or later? It's the way it works. The way it works. You know, believers and non-believers, Catholics and Protestants, Lutheran, Presbyterian, probably not Baptist, I don't know about them, but everybody else. Them Baptists probably got an in, I don't know. But everybody, right Dave? We're going to go. No way of avoiding it. And I gave you some examples last week about how some people pick that transportation, right? What was one? Stoned to death by wild monkeys. Sitting in a stand watching a ball game and got hit by a flying lawnmower. Hit by a flying lawnmower. Isn't that just crazy? That is crazy. A guy's fishing in a boat, peacefully fishing, and a guard jumps out of the boat. His fin cuts his jugular vein. He dies before he gets to the shore. Crazy. The guy who's hunting snakes puts the butt of the gun on the snake, tries to catch it, wraps himself up, puts his tail on the trigger, shoots him in the head. The only guy known, as far as I know, shot to death by a snake. What will be your transportation?
Car.
We got a car. We said somebody a car. But the reality is, anybody know?
No.
You don't know. Brothers and sisters of the church, you do not get to pick the transportation. You only get to pick the destination.
Amen.
You do not get to pick how you're going. You just get to pick what?
Where
you're going. How many of you are going to heaven when your day comes?
Amen.
How many hope you're going to heaven when that day comes? Got some questions here. See, we can't put that to bed, okay? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4.
This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth.
It is God's desire that who should be saved?
Everybody.
It's His desire. Let's wrestle with something right now. Let's see if we can't wrestle with something and put it to bed. And I kind of know that I'm like preaching to the choir here. I kind of know that. But I'm going to pretend today that I'm not preaching to the choir. And I want to make sure that we understand that in order for everything from this forward to be true, we have to believe in somebody. Who is it?
Jesus.
You got to believe in God. And Jesus. Yeah, you have to believe in God. You have to believe in God. If you don't believe in God, really truly, if you don't believe in God, does that save you from death?
Nope.
No. I'm serious. Whether you believe in God or the Bible or not, you are still going to what?
Die.
Hey, listen, check it out. Believers die and unbelievers die. Is that a true statement? Because why? Everybody dies. See, that doesn't separate it. That doesn't make the difference. Because everybody, Glenn's going to what?
Die.
Whether you believe in the Bible or whether you do not, doesn't matter as far as physical death. You're going to die. So why do we spend this much time on this then? Because, see, we believe as Christians there's two deaths, right? The physical death, the body, and then what?
Spiritual
death, which means what? Separation from God, and in that place nobody wants to talk about. AC double hockey sticks. There's a kid here. I mean, you get to decide. But it's God's desire. If there is a God, how many believe there is a God?
Yeah.
If there is a God, it is His desire that how many people be saved? What about really bad ones?
Yep.
No, I know. I mean really bad ones.
Yep.
What about those ones, you know, that stole candy? Oh, they're not that bad, huh? Yeah, you are. You see, every single person is bad. How many bad people we got in this place? We all did things. We all do it. We all do it. Bonnie, don't we all do stuff? We all do. There is not one single person in this room that's good enough.
Amen.
And so when people say to me, well, where are you going to go when you die? Well, I hope heaven. And I say, well, why do you hope? And they say, well, because I hope I'm good enough. Let me burst your bubble. You're not. There's nobody in this room that's good enough. How many understand that? Nobody in this room is good enough to go to heaven. Not one. But it's his desire that who should be saved. And how do you get saved? Come to a what? Of the what? Of the truth. The knowledge of the truth. So what's true? Seriously, what's true? I know probably some of you believe that you have the truth. Right? No. Somebody hold up a copy of the truth. Anybody got a copy of the truth on their lap? There's the truth. That's the truth. Not what you think is true. What he says is true. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9.
The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
How many know this world is messed up? I mean, is there a day that doesn't go by, you don't see something, you realize it's more messed up today than it was yesterday? And some people will say, well, why doesn't the Lord come back today? Why doesn't the Lord come back today and put an end to this goofiness? You want to know why? Because he's giving you what? Time. He's giving you time. Anybody glad he's patient with you? I mean, really, church. I mean, aren't you glad that he's slow and he's patient and he's calling you to himself? Aren't you glad of that? Hey, what if he had come, church, seriously now, what if he had come 40 years ago? How many might not be where you want to be when you die? 40 years ago, guess what might have happened to some of you? True. 40 years ago, I would have went to hell. How many are glad that he gave you time?
Amen.
How many are glad that he was patient with you? How many are glad he kept wooing you to himself and gave you time? How many thanking God for time? And that's why he keeps on wooing you to himself. He keeps saying, come on, it is my desire that you should not go to hell. It is my desire. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. And that's why he's patient and slow. He's not slow in your understanding. How many know when he comes, he'll be right on time?
Yeah.
How many know when Jesus comes, he won't be early? Well, I mean, he'll be right on time. How many knows when Jesus comes, he won't be late either?
That's right.
How many know that when it's your time, you won't be late or early either? We'll be what?
Right on time.
Right on time. Let's turn to John 14:6, brothers and sisters.
Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Let's wrestle with that. I may be the only one in this church today that's bold enough to state this. And maybe some of you are going to feel pretty icky with what I'm about to say to you. And I want you to know from the deepest chasms of my sincere heart, I don't care. Because here's the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many believe that he said that? Now, the next part, no one. Let's talk about that. Who?
No one.
That's icky. What do you mean, no one? Well, it says, no one comes to the Father. Where's the Father at? He's in heaven. It says what, Glenn? No one. What about all them grandma's baking cookies for the grandkids who don't know Jesus? What about them really nice grandmas that's baking all them cookies, for all them kids in the neighborhood, and she doesn't know Jesus Christ as her Savior, and she's going out to the store to buy some more Nestle's Toll-House morsels, and she dies. And she doesn't know Jesus. Where's she going? See, you want to whisper that too, don't you? How many know she's going to hell? If she does not know Jesus Christ, where is she going? She's going to hell. Now that's an icky, icky thing, right? How many feel uncomfortable with that? Don't that make you feel just a little bit uncomfortable? What's that?
I thought Don't they usually go there?
Yeah. And what about, check it out, what about a person who murdered tons of people? A murderer. Let's talk about, for example, does anybody know who John Wayne Gacy is?
Yes.
How about Ted Bundy? What if one of the... Now, don't play games with me. Yeah, they really got to know. No, let's not play games. Let's suppose that one of those guys really, truly repented of their sin. They really, truly took Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then they died. Where are they? Does that seem unfair? How many find that a little unfair? Grandma, who's baking cookies, could be in hell for all eternity. And Jeffrey Dahmer could be where? In heaven for all eternity. How many find that icky? Anybody find that icky? But how many know it's the truth? It's the truth. How many have ever told a white lie, a little white lie? No, you didn't. You told a lie. There's no such thing as a white lie. There are what? Lies. How many are liars in this room? There you go. How many unrepentant liars live in heaven?
None.
No unrepentant sinners. I mean, liars are in heaven, right? How many's ever told a whopper? How many told a lie? That's the truth. Listen to me. It's the truth. Whether you like it or not doesn't make it not the truth. It's the truth. There, according to what Christians believe, according to what that Bible says, hold up a copy of that truth, Robin. According to that truth that Robin's holding up right there, check it out. I don't care whether you call yourself a Jewish person, an Islam, Hindu, Confucian, agnostic, atheist, or Christian. I don't care. If you don't believe, you're not going to heaven. I don't care what the title is. Let's get away from, well, what happens to all them Jews who don't believe? You know what? Now, let's strike the names. All unbelievers will not be where? I don't care what you call yourself. How many got that? Because truly, I will tell you the truth, church. I'll tell you the truth. I really think there could be some Baptists, some Pentecostals, some Methodists, some Presbyterians, some Lutherans, some Catholics that may not go either. It's not what you believe. It's in who you believe. That's the truth. Guys, we're going to, you know, get some Easter lilies or whatever it is that you guys are going to put up here on Easter Sunday. You can have 100,000 of them. Is that going to get you into heaven?
Nope.
Not going to get you there. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15:55.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
What happens when a Christian dies? Let's talk about it a little bit. What happens? That's probably the biggest giant that we all have to face. What happens to you when you die? What happens? Well, first of all, I want to explain something to you. And I don't mean to upset anybody. Of course, if I do, oh well. Here's the truth. I want to tell you. I've been talking to my Healing's Hand group on Thursday nights about the whole concept of death. Because we've been kind of talking about that. And there's this phenomena that people like to talk about a lot. And I'm not in any way talking down about it. But that near-death experience. Who's ever heard of a near-death experience? Awesome. You know the very first word is probably the defining word in that whole expression. What is it?
Near.
Near. Let me run that by you again. See, a lot of people might have a near-death experience, but the Ottoman word is what? Near. It's not dead. How many understand that? See, near death means what? You were not dead. And a lot of people have that experience, that near-death experience. There's only been a few people that's been dead for more than 4 days that's come back. There's nobody in the modern era that I know of. How many agree with that statement? It's just the way it is. It's true. It's true. You see, when a person dies, the definition of death is what? Irreversible. You can be close. Your heart can stop and your brain could not function for a while. But if they bring you back, guess what? You were not
dead.
How many agree with that statement? It's the truth. So what happens when you die? What happens to you? And listen to me, church. I know a lot of people talk about the white tunnel and they see the people. I understand a lot of people say that. That's not the way it works. So let's talk about the way it works. What happens when a person dies? Well, the first thing we need to know is, where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is your sting? I want to explain something to you. In the coal mines of West Virginia, and all those coal mines, and unfortunately there was an accident not too long ago, right? In the coal mines of West Virginia, they have a fella whose sole job is to walk around in the mines. And before any miner can go in the mine, he's got a job to do. His job is, he gets there before everybody else gets there for the shift. He puts on his overalls, I'm sure he does. He puts on his helmet with his miner's light. He puts on an oxygen tank with a mask. And he has a clipboard. He probably drinks his last cup of coffee before he goes off into the mines. And he starts. He goes in the mine, probably down as far as he thinks he should go. And he does something very peculiar. Something very peculiar. He's in the mine and he takes off his oxygen mask. And he takes a real deep breath. He waits, puts the mask back on, he puts a check. And he goes about another 100, 200 yards or so to another designated place in the mine. He takes off the mask, takes a breath, puts it back on, and then what's he do? Puts a check. What's he doing? He's checking for gas. He walks all through the mine, all through the mine, all through the mine, all through the mine. Now the other miners are coming. And they don't dare go into the mine yet until they see old Harry. They're standing outside probably having coffee, kibitzing with one another, getting ready to go in the mine. They keep looking to the opening of the mine. What are they looking for? Looking for Harry. They can't go to work until Harry comes out. So all the miners are getting together, all pulling around, probably getting their overalls, getting the helmets, getting the lights ready, checking the batteries and all that kind of stuff. And they're watching the front of the mine. Here comes a light. Be bopping in the distance. Here comes who? Old Harry's coming out the door. And old Harry comes out and all the miners gather around him and he makes an announcement. He makes an announcement. You know what? I walked all through the mine today. I checked all the beams. I checked everything in the mine that you need to be concerned about. I checked for gas. I checked the mine. I checked everything in there. And I want you to know it's safe to go to work today because I what? I checked it. I walked all through that mine. I looked at everything. I looked at everything that could possibly cause you damage. As far as I know today, the mine is what? Safe. You can go to work. And they say, thanks, Harry, boy. Thanks, Harry. Thanks, old Harry. We appreciate it. And all the miners go back to work. Harry gets to his truck, takes off his overhaul, takes off his helmet. He said, well, I did my job today. Isn't that a cool story? That would be just a really cool story if I stopped there. Because Jesus did that for you. You mean Jesus walked all through all those mines? Oh no. But see, he walked through all the chasms of death. He went to death. And he walked all through death. All through death. Walked through there. How many days was he walking through death? And at the end of those 3 days, he walked back down and he says to everyone here, don't worry about it. I checked it out. You got nothing to worry about. I checked it out. It's okay. I've been there. And I live, and so shall you what? Live. Also live. Amen. How many thankful the Lord checked it out? Amen. He walked all through death. He said, you have nothing to worry about. I removed the what? The sting. And I removed death having a victory. I conquered it. I conquered it. And so shall what?
You.
I conquered it. So what is death like? A little boy was asking his mom, because Graham just died, and the little boy said to his mom, Mom, what's death like? I don't understand it. What is death like? And the mother told the little boy, well, you know how you fall asleep, and your daddy picks you up, and carries you off into your bedroom, and lays you down on the bed, and you wake up in a different place? That's what death is like. You see, when you die, you fall asleep. And God picks you up and takes you, what? To the new place. And when you wake up, you're in a different room. You know what the little boy said? Thank you, Mommy. Help me understand that, too. He In the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, Jesus says clearly, he says, believe in me, even believe also in my Father, for in my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If I did not tell you I was going to prepare a place for who? You. I wouldn't have told you that. I'm going to come for you and take you where? To myself. So that where you are, what? Oh, it's awesome. How many know Jesus is preparing a place for you right now? That's awesome. So do we have anything to be afraid of?
No.
Not really. Not believers. Not believers, we don't. Is there a fear for non-believers, do you think? Yeah, there is. I know most of you kind of know what I do for a living. I think you know by now. Probably ad nauseum. But I deal with people that are dying every day. That's what I do for a living. What a nice job to have, huh? Well, it's a nice job to have on some days. But there are some days I leave her, I call Sissy. I'm having a bad day. I'm having a real bad time right now. Because I'm in the presence of someone that I would believe is not saved, though I do not know for sure. But I was in the presence of someone not saved and they died. That's a very sad day for me. How many can understand that? I know the truth. I know the truth. It's God's desire that who should perish? Not one. Did you know everything we do here has got to do with that? The saving grace of Jesus Christ? That's why we do this? Right? Turn your Bibles to Philippians 1:23.
I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far.
Yeah, the Apostle Paul is saying what? His desire is to be with Christ, for that is better. Hey, does anybody want to live in Coriopolis for the rest of eternity? Juanita, how about it?
No.
Yeah. Does anybody want to live in the burg for the rest of eternity?
Nope.
I mean, if you do, you better get some more tires because you hit some more potholes, I'll tell you that. I'm saying, if you want to live in the burg for the rest of life, you better find a new way to get someplace because all the roads are closed again. But the truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, is that we are not created to be here forever. Is anybody glad of that? We're not created to be here forever. We're created to be where, Jimmy?
Christ.
With Christ for how long? Forever. That's what we're supposed to be looking forward to. But here's the icky part for some people. God gave us a wonderful gift through Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that. God gave us a wonderful gift through Jesus Christ. And it is free for the what? For the taking. But guess what you have to do? Take it. Right? Does God force you?
Nope.
Free will. Free will. I mean, He's a gracious God. He's a gracious God. Right, Juanita? He doesn't force His Son on you. He doesn't force the gift on you. His hands are open and says, here it is. Here's the gift. What do you have to do?
Take it.
And receive it. You know, still amazing to me, I know men and women who won't take the gift. They won't take it. And you know why they won't take it? Because they really believe, they really truly believe, still they still really truly believe that it's got something to do with them. I can be good enough. I can be perfect enough. I have to work my way into heaven. Anybody in this room truly know, I'm asking very sincerely, anybody in this room really, truly think you have to be good enough to get into heaven? Does anybody think you need to be good enough? Nobody in this room thinks that? Does anybody in this room think you have to work your way there? You have to do good things? Yeah, how much would you have to do? And do you understand, church? Do you understand that if you have to do only one thing in addition to what Jesus Christ has done, if you only have to do but one thing, only one thing, what does that do with Christ's death? It makes it meaningless. Because that means you have to do something too. Right, Glenn? So what does that do then, Carol, for the cross? It minimizes it, doesn't it? If you have to do one thing in addition to what He's done, then He is not the Son of God. Sissy and I are counseling a couple. I was explaining to the couple that in order for them to get past some things, you have to push the reset button. The reset button. The do-over. You know what that means, church, when you push the reset button? See, the spirit of reconciliation, what Christ has done for us, He has reconciled us to the Father. He's reconciled us to the Father. You know what that means, church? He pushes the reset button. You know what that means? The past is in the past, never to be brought up again, ever. Push the button, starting new. No going back. How many of you, even though you truly wanted to reconcile a relationship with somebody, you forgot to push the reset button? You still remember the things that said, you remember the things that's been done, you know that you have, and you never push the reset button. Who here has a hard time pushing the reset button? You want it to be better, you want to have a better relationship, but you can't what? You can't push that reset button. How many of you love somebody in this room? How many love more than one person? Good. How many can remember to this day, be honest, how many can remember to this day something they said that hurt your feelings really bad? Sure you did. You know what that means? You didn't push the reset button. You didn't push it. Because the reset button means what? It starts over. The relationship starts what, Dave? Over. And nothing comes what? With it. How many are glad that Jesus Christ pushed the reset button on you? How many are really, really glad, church, that He took that slate with all those things on it? I'm serious. I'm serious, church. If you sat here, how many ever had to write on a blackboard when you were little? You better all raise your hand, Glenn. Glenn, you're a teacher. Where's my principal? There she is. Okay, let's all pretend. I will not
do it again.
Oh, Dave was doing it again. His was generic because he did everything wrong. How many was I will not? Mine was speaking class. And what was yours, Ann?
Speaking class.
I will not talk. I will not, you know, cheat. I will not. How many had to write on a board at least one time? I will not. Okay, check it out. And so your teacher says to you, start writing. And you go all around this whole church, right? I will not. I will not. I will not. I will not. You went every wall, every inch. I will not. I will not. I will not. Well, here's some of the I will not. I will not lie. I will not cheat. I will not steal. I will not gossip. I will not slander. I will not start all kinds of goofy stuff. I will not do the. I will not murder with my tongue. I will not. I will not. I will not. I will not. Seriously, in life, how many of you could write on a blackboard right now? You know you could, right? How many could write at least one I will not? Well, I need a YouTube. And Jesus comes along with His eraser made of His blood. And what does He start doing? The whole wall, everything you've ever done, all around the whole church, what's He doing? What's He doing, Char? He's erasing everything you wrote, Sandy. Bobby's erasing everything you ever wrote, Juanita. It's all gone. It's all gone. He wipes away the whole wall. And it's all what? Gone. It's all gone. How many are glad for that reset button? And listen to me. It's not because you've been so bad in your life. It's because He is so good. It's not about what you have done. It's what He has done.
Amen.
He's taken the walls and done what with them? Clean them. And who are you? Who are you? Go back over there. Start writing again. Oh, the wall's clean. I'll start writing some more again. Who are you to do that? Help me understand that. If He's wiped it clean, who are you? What gives you the right to do what? Start writing them again. Who are you? If He's wiped them clean, what are they? Clean! You'll hear me tell you on Easter Sunday, take the grave clothes off. Walk around like you're somebody. Easter Sunday morning, I want you to take them grave clothes off. And one of the two centers I work at, I'll close with this, two centers I work at, I told both of these, and they're Alzheimer's patients. I told them, I said, how many remember when you always got something new to wear on Easter? How many remember that, getting something new to wear on Easter, right? And I said to them, you go better come in here. You at least come in with a new hat. And so they ordered a whole bunch of hats. There's going to be two places I work at with these dementia patients. They're all going to have brand new hats on. Brand new hats. And this lady says, Pastor Tom, you going to wear your new hat? Oh, yeah, I'll have my new hat on. Who are you? to rewrite what he's taken away. Who are you? How many glad the slate's clean? Then live a clean life. Don't live a life like they put stuff. Live a clean life. Take the grave clothes off. And all of God's children said,